Of things. Tap, tap. Yeah, okay. I think I'll get it. We'll see. One important theme that came up was the people. And I think in part we were responding to Natalie's excellent film, so we're video film project, whatever it is. So the conversation tended to circulate around that and then spiraled out from that. The term polyphony was an interesting reference point that Casey made. I think the issue of, or the question of unison, this is again another auditory question. And perhaps the another sort of key thing was trying to sort of understand that action wasn't necessarily easily sort of separated out somehow from the things that were already taking place, that sound and vision were, you know, bound up with action already. There was sort of a sense that the separation between those things maybe seemed, it didn't reflect the fact that action is a powerful part of the act of what people were doing in their presentations and in their work. And probably a big theme that came up was people were excited about the discussions around temporality, on motion, stillness, momentum, and stillness. It was a thread that wove its way through a number of the conversations. Let's see, one more thing. And maybe people were happy that there wasn't a reduction to the disciplinary conversations between those involved in sound studies versus visual studies, and that there was a quite effective balance or interplay between what people were trying to do, that the person who was called to be the visual person, like Natalie was in fact presented us a very sonic musical composition of voices, so for example. And the presentations were multimediatic. I mean, you know, almost universally, right? So, all right, that's us, I think.
Okay, so we heard a lot of things, but I think, personally, I'm pushing back on that. Collectively, I hope they don't mind, but I think we experienced more, because I think it wasn't so much about what was taken in, but rather what was experienced, and this can go back to all of the kind of multimodal presentations that we had that called for more, and or pushed for beyond, kind of sonic and visual awareness and more of a kind of affective response. And that goes with Natalie's video to Karen's piece and to Daphne's and so on and so forth. So just kind of stating that. And so in terms of now posing that question, we heard and we experienced a push for new methodologies, new approaches, new ways of visualizing and or hearing and or experience change and activism and organizing with that respect. We experienced a lot of discomfort, but the discomfort was necessary because in order for change to occur, it's going to push you to difference, and experiencing things that are different is not inherently a comfortable thing. If it were, it would be easy. And so this kind of sense of newness, new modalities, new forms of presenting something, different ways of engaging, looking at art, having Natalie's video, the kind of using sound from Dawn's presentation for Ultra Red, just kind of pushed us into areas of unknown, the kind of sense of not being aware of what was going to come next. And I think in doing so, it was a very effective mode from the presenters to call for action. I can even think of Mark's piece where it was, you know, this very essentially the visualization of his art piece, but also the documentation of it, that pushed for more than just the kind of visual experience and kind of really heard what does capitalism sound like, what is the abstraction involved, and what can you physically do to change that. And that may not be a clear answer, and I think we experienced that from this past Q&A. Like, there's no easy answer for these things, but it does call for some type of change in some manner. So that's what we heard slash experienced.
Thanks for that. I think we might have failed to meet the objective of taking down specific notes, and I'm not really qualified to testify right now, but...
None of us are.
Yeah. I thank you, Natalie, wherever you are, because that definitely spurned our discussion a lot, because I feel like we had a little mini oral history going on right here, because we all were talking about our backgrounds, of course, and how we're interpreting all of the things that we've seen and heard, and how that basically is informed our action. But I'm sorry, I got nothing for you in terms of evoke, like, keywords or anything, Jonathan. Does anyone else who wasn't named want to?
I'll just say one or two things. I mean, so for me, I feel like I feel like that I heard a lot of enlightening presentations of how auditory and visual knowledge inform the stories we tell ourselves and who we are, and it seems as though the critique of sound and vision is much easier than applying that in reality and figuring out ways that we can be proactive in changing the huge problems, I suppose, that have been presented here this over the course of the conference. And so there seems to be a gap between abstract thinking about large things such as capitalism and the poverty and then finding ways as quote unquote intellectuals or whatever you want to call people that are engaging with these concepts. Finding ways to act upon that kind of knowledge. So, I mean, that's unsuccinct and uncogent, I guess. But I don't know. I guess that's what I got. You could have like a separate conference on action, right? Because it seems to be a general. I don't want to say failure, but. but anyway, so that's it. Anybody else?
So I'm going to speak for this group. Some of the questions we have are issues where that there was no way to separate what we hear from what we think or what we understood, which is a little bit how we experience. The other thing was that we are speaking and acting from a position of privilege being here. The other thing is that many people in the audience is actually very involved politically. Also, that Quebec is very different than the United States, as we saw, we have seen in the past years, especially in 2012. The other thing was, being in the academia, there is a moment where there might be a question of when and how there is a rupture, that there indeed are changes for the students, and maybe from the prof learning from the students too. Another question was becoming visible and hearable by one of the things was engaging outside of the classroom, maybe with small communities or like the closest network, which is something that Natalie and Sophie, for instance, do. So being socially involved locally and maybe nationally. And the last thing was the question of authenticity and if that could get us somewhere. And last question. Well, no, it was an affirmation that wouldn't get us elsewhere. And then the last thing was, what would we do if after seeing this video, we learned that the people there were actors? That's it.
Just a point of clarification. Are you saying authenticity won't get us anywhere, or that it will get us somewhere?
Won't get us
anywhere. Excellent.
You don't have notes.
It's a running theme.
Yeah. No, we spent 20 minutes reeling from the video and the response. Clearly, there was a lot of debate in our group between sort of differences between sort of activism, action, and organizing and the institution. I think there's a lot of disagreement, but also acknowledgement that this sort of question of privilege can't be sort of just ignored, and that it's something we need to negotiate in all our practice. Does that sound right? And there's great value in listening to each other, and I think that's the biggest thing I think I've gotten from this conference personally, but I think in this group, I think there's a lot of acknowledgement of how important that is. Oh, we didn't have notes, sorry.
Is that everybody? And so you see. Well, I think, I don't know. I mean, I don't think we're going to end with any grand answers. So in a way, this is the best way to end. I'm going to say one thing that I noticed, because I did something very unusual. When I go to conferences in my field, I'm always, because I was the Keener student, I'm always like, and I did not do that. I just sat, and I listened, and I paid attention, and I worked hard at listening and paying attention, and it was very good. But now I want to say one thing, which is the theme I noticed over all the others was about perseverance. And it came up again and again and again about how long any kind of social change takes and how much work it is to really do anything good. And one of the things I really liked about the conference across all the different sort of approaches, sensibilities, or whatever, was what I would call a kind of commitment in the broadest sense possible to erudition. Because, of course, Gramsci said the job of the intellectual is to know more than the other side. That's hard work. And sometimes when academics get into these political discussions anyway, there is this desire for speeding up, and not once did I hear that in the, you know, that we need to like get out and do something now, and we don't have time to think about these things and you know, go through these archives and read these books. And I think that's, you know, it's all hard, slow work, right? And it has different phases, and there are moments of reflection, and there are also moments of action and engagement. Best thing you can hope for out of a conference, I think, is a moment of reflection. And so I would suggest that when we have our action meeting, it not be at the McCord necessarily, and that we might find other ways to do that. So that's the thought I wanted to share, and I'll write that down later. So I want to say a few words about wrapping up, what's happening next, and then I have to repeat a few thank yous. So what's coming next? There will be some kind of multimodal book or journal issue that will not only collect the versions of the presentations you heard or other work by the people here, but also work based on the interviews that the students in my class have been doing with the people who've been presenting here. So we're not exactly sure about the form it's going to take yet, but we are committed to something that is multimodal. In other words, that the audio, the video, the images, the sounds are commingling with the text. It doesn't privilege one mode of engagement over another, and that's open access so that you don't have to pay to get it. For those of you that don't want to wait, videos of the colloquium will be archived online at soundvisionaction.cc and media.mcgill.ca. Look out for Media McGill's next events in the winter, The Yes Men. So we're just continuing on from Natalie, February 20th, and Tobin Siebers, who's one of my favorite disability theorists, on March 12th. And now the thank yous. I want to start by thanking all of our participating speakers, some of whom came a long way and with viruses in them, that they knew about. And the presentations were just, without exception, outstanding, engaging. I often lost track of time. It was just great. I want to thank our numerous partners who I will spare you in naming. They're on the site. I named them all at the beginning. I am extremely grateful, but I also respect your time. I want to thank the team at the McCord Museum. People have been great, solicitous, helpful. Everything has worked. And I always prefer a room that's too cool to too warm. I got to wear my sweater. So I want to thank Megan and Randy, who have done so much to propel the discussions. I want to thank Tamar, who has basically done everything. I want to thank Sophie, who has done a whole other everything. Mary, is Mary in here? I don't think. She's handling everything else. Maurizio and Casey for tweeting. I really want to thank the students in my seminar. It's been a pleasure having this experience with you this semester, which we will continue doing on Tuesday. And I want to thank all of you for coming, for listening, for participating, for engaging. It's been a true delight. And of course, I'll thank Nick for asking me that question now a year and a half ago. Why don't your people and my people talk to each other more? So
we certainly did that. As a somewhat long-term organizer, but I defer to very long-term organizers in the room, this is a really important moment where people start to think about like doing things differently and doing things otherwise, and the room finally starts to look like a room that I feel comfortable in right now. So we want to think going forward. There are lots of choices you could make in organizing. So, we organized an unconference at NYU, and Natalie showed her first presentation of this work about a year ago. And there weren't any other area or travel budgets and stuff like that, and people had to come from locally, and there was a snowstorm, and it was all kind of, it was much more sort of ad hoc, but it had a different feel to it, and it led to a different kind of outcome, which is the Milton Research Handbook that sat outside there. But then there's a real virtue at the same time to hearing about the work that people are doing in South Africa and Ireland and Germany and Quebec and the United States in one room. And that, while that's privilege, there's also a sense in which in many movements people will recognize that skill sharing is a really important component to organizing, that it's not morally wrong to have a skill, and that it's really useful to share it with people who might benefit from it. And that happens, I think, across movements, and we've heard a lot about that yesterday. So there are choices that we make going forward about where and how we do the work that we do and how we organize the work that we do and what the intersection is. And I think this is the kind of overall takeaway that I have. Action, and action, fine, but action that is sort of within the hierarchical vertical frame of the neoliberal university, action that is within the hierarchical neoliberal frame of the nation state, and then those tenuous and difficult attempts to be horizontal in either of those spaces, which face massive hostility and violent repression in many places. And we should be mindful of that we have, we're not facing, as people will very shortly after the grand jury verdict next week, face cops and tear gas and other bullets. But there will be places and times in which it is important to reflect on things like that. I think that there's something very... if we think about different temporalities that came out of one of the working groups, temporalities of universities are incredibly slow. Temporalities of organizing politically can be go through moments of rapidity and moments of slowness. I think we're probably in a slow moment now, but slow moments are really, really, really useful to figure out what to do next and to try and keep that sense of like having time and having possibility when things seem to speed up. So just to conclude, all I was going to say was I want to really thank Jonathan not for hearing me when I said that thing to him. And not just sort of going, yeah, dude, sure, whatever, but thinking, actually, no, we could do something. And he did it, and that's an action. And what's going to happen out of that is that we're going to try and fuck up sound studies and visual culture going forward, right? Say that they should no longer exist and that there should be something else. And that's an action. And then there are other kinds of actions which we can also do, and we heard about Printemps 2015, which is going to kick off here soon, and there's all kinds of people want to get involved in direct action in Los Angeles, Don will be able to tell you how to do that, and if you want to do stuff in New York, and you know what, you could all just decide to go out and organize something yourselves and bring the rest of us into it, and that would also be awesome. So to second Jonathan's thanks to everybody, thanks to everybody, because that was just a whole lot of fun. And there's food outside, right?
Yeah, there's food outside, and you've earned it.
Yeah.